It's still as good now as it was in 1965, and it will be coming to a TV near you real soon, right? Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang cut to the chase on every major issue in life, from greed to grief, but then Linus illuminates the great hope of the gospel in Luke 2, reminding Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. Matter of fact, I brought our family's preserved VHS copy that my wife brought into our marriage, Street Value 1900. Yes, I promise to bring it home. Promise, okay. Well, there's a scene early on when Charlie Brown seeks Lucy's counsel for dealing with all his great fears and woes amidst his holiday depression. Don't underestimate, there's some really good truth in this 1965 special. But let's watch how Lucy helps.
All right now, what seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone. I think we better pinpoint your fears. If we can find out what you're afraid of, we can label it. Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have aphasia.
Well, sort of, but I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or cephalophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything. That's it!
She nailed it. How many of us have been filled with some fear or phobia that has really robbed us? The psalmist David said in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Job understood this, yet man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. You and I have great reasons at times to fear. Just life in general can bring us fear. I know there are people even in our church who've had different episodes of difficulty that cause fear. So we never want to, the apostle says, to accept him who's weak in the faith. So there are times where you may think, I got this licked and I've figured this thing out, and yet somebody else may not have it licked. And then how do we, who can be helpful, know how to help? And this is the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's ministry through us can often be what someone needs. I'm not going to pick on Dennis, but I will. I've seen Dennis, he says, Dave, you got good sensitivity. He's got good sensitivity to people's needs. And sometimes I'm amazed at what he sees ahead of time to help somebody. But that's the Spirit of God working through a person, and the same can happen for all of us. The scripture shows us how to it will teach us how to be real with God. The thing that's key here is that you and I need to know how to seek God in his word to effectively deal with our fears. I was struck by a video on Facebook yesterday of a man and a woman fleeing in their vehicle on a road surrounded by flames in Southern California. And their dash cam is rolling, and you can feel their fear. I mean, this was an alarming situation. I mean, these people were just... And the woman who's in the passenger seat, in her trembling voice, I'm like, how is this going to end? I mean, these roads are surrounded by fire. They're surrounded, and then they keep hitting these billows of smoke as they're driving through. But here's what I noticed. It was so precious. This trembling voice in the passenger seat says, Heavenly Father, please help us. Please keep us safe. I'm very thankful for Jeremy and his willingness to be brave. Speaking of the man beside her. And I just thought, wow. There are times in your greatest fear that's the time that you breathe a prayer to God. You can develop prayerfulness. We don't pray enough. And that's why I think as a church, our church should be praying. It's not that we're so high and mighty and we're the praying people. I am weak and also need prayer. There are needs that there's work that we can only accomplish through prayer. And that's just praying. Our hearts are burdened and we want God to work in a situation. And do you know what? here's what I'm learning in my life. Even if the results don't become what I would want them to be, God's still working. God's still working in that situation. We don't know. I've talked to people who have gone through much, and it's like, and people have looked at my life in the past and said, I don't know how you guys did it, walking your wife through leukemia and all these things. You know, some of the best days of my life are looking back of how God led my family through a big trial. And God can use that to make you strong if you let him. A lot of people don't let God fortify them because they don't learn the word of God. And I think there's so much here as we wrap up the book of Galatians today. When you think of biblically based Christianity, Christianity that's revealed and established in the living word of God, our spiritual stability and our freedom in Christ is dependent on understanding what God wants us to know in the scripture. This is what it means to build on a secure foundation. We sang the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where did I get that from? I got it from the Word of God. I got it from the living, vital Word of God. God shows us through His Word how to flourish in the faith and forsake falsehood. That's the key about growing. As you want to flourish in your most holy faith that was once for all delivered for the saints, that's the faith. This is what God gave to us in His revelation. The scripture is a progressive revelation. There are things for Israel that don't apply to the church. There are things for the church that don't apply for Israel. We want to make sure that we know how to navigate that road so that we're not causing ourselves all this extra unnecessary anxiety. God will lead us by His Spirit. You know that we are the first fruits of the Spirit. Every person who places faith in Christ gains the Holy Spirit the moment that they place faith in Christ. Jesus, I know you died for me. I am not looking to any other one. You are my salvation. You are the one who bled and died for me. I receive that gift into my life. The moment you pray that, whether you pray that in the most timid way, or you pray that with great tears of anguish, or great frustration, or great despair, however you prayed that prayer, however you prayed that prayer, the moment you prayed that prayer, the Holy Spirit made a commitment to you. Now it's your job to know how to be filled with the Spirit. That's why we spend a good number of our days trying to shake the old nature, flesh. And some of you didn't even see your old flesh until you came to Christ, how bad it really is. That's why we have to be really careful when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, that we want to make sure that they can see Jesus clearly. Not how rotten and filthy they are. We all are rotten and filthy. But God can reveal Christ to us as we come hungry for Him. Jesus has food to give. Christ bore our sin on the cross. We want to see what He did for us. We want to learn how to flourish in our faith and forsake falsehood. And Paul is adamant with these Galatian believers, and he is not holding back. There is such energy in this letter. That's why it's wise when you sit down to read the Bible, is to see the focus of that letter, is to sit down, take 20 minutes, take a half an hour, read and track with the energy of the focus of that word. And what's he really saying? And Paul does repeat things. He brings things back. He'll call it out. He'll develop another thought. He'll show you how this ties back into another spiritual truth. But he'll keep hammering on that thought. And that's exactly what he's been doing in the book of Galatians. These few verses, these final verses, are going to be up on the screen. Paul says, See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they might not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but, here it is, a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me. for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. A couple of notes from the back of the bulletin. Call this first one, No Faith. N-O Faith. Number two, K-N-O-W, Faith. And number three, Known by God. I'd like to look at these for a second. So as Paul is wrapping up this letter, you see one central theme here of only the cross. When we understand what truly was completed at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was in the center point, he's got two thieves and robbers on his right and left. He is dying for the sins of the world. And one speaks to him and just, you know, if you're the Son of Man, why don't you take yourself off the cross? The other says to him, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Today, you'll be with me in paradise, he says to one of them. It's the right look at Jesus. It's the right look, and that's what the apostle is really making sure that these Galatian believers, and there are times that even strong believers can get off their firm footing. And that's why you want to know the word. You want to understand it. That's why we do Bible study. We do Sunday school. We have preaching. We have teaching. And we want people to understand exactly what belongs to them in Christ. Because if you add to that, and that's the big thing that was happening with the Galatians, they were putting an add-on. Circumcision, the Mosaic Law system, you got to keep this. If you're really saved, you'll do this. We're going to put this weight on you that was rebuked by Peter. We couldn't even keep this law. If this law did anything for us, it showed us that we were sinners. But also it pointed to one who was coming in there, was coming to bear the sins of the world. That's the whole point. It was a schoolmaster for the Jews, but it was to show them how much they needed a Savior. Paul says, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. This wasn't a long letter. Romans is a specifically long letter by the apostle, about 16 chapters in the book of Romans. Paul also penned 13 other letters, epistles we could call them, which is an authoritative, authoritative instruction. But Paul is handwriting this. Many believe that he may have actually penned this entire letter. There are times where Paul may have actually had somebody helping him to record the actual writing. But in this case, he is very, very specific here. That in spite of my condition, my eyesight condition, I am writing you. See what large letters, what he's saying is, do you see how important this is? That my strained eyesight that's making these large letters. Do you ever get a note from somebody who has sight issues? Do you ever see like what happens? The letters look a little bit... Now, yes, you can make sense, but you can see that because of the eye strain, it translated into either bigger letters or scribbly or not quite what they should have been, but you can try to figure it out. I find letters from an elderly person precious because it's like they took the time to write this note and to communicate. But needless to say, Paul is writing with his own hand here. And he's writing large letters because he's quite passionate about making sure that this stuff is clear. And at one point, I sense here by the end of this letter that I've settled this issue. I don't want this trouble to come to me again. This is Scripture. I've recorded through the Holy Spirit Scripture. And you've got to stand on this. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. I have found in my ministry here, even in this time, the last 3 years of this church, it's really easy to get on the ecumenical bandwagon. We're all just, you know, we're all kind of in the same thing. Just because you see a building with a steeple doesn't mean that they're teaching correct doctrine. And that's a really important thing. So I've got to be careful as a pastor with partnerships. Like, I don't want people to go into a wrong church and get loaded up or think that it really, you know, Jesus is just sort of an add-on to your life. Jesus is the center. In him is life. And we never want to compromise that. So that's when we do a Thanksgiving outreach. I know and I trust that whoever we get to speak or to share cares about the same things I care about. And that's important. That's how ministry really is to be developed and to be thought through. Why would Paul agonize? He's talking about the marks that are on his body. Why did he get that marks? Because he stood for the truth. He stood for the truth of the gospel. He stood for something that was worth. In his experience, he knew that this was crystal clear, and I will fight for this clarity, and I will communicate what God wants me to communicate for the long-term future of this church, however long the church is going to be on planet Earth. So these words are as significant as when they were first written, because there are many today that will try to, whether they're talking about a fleshly circumcision or some ceremonial thing to make you feel like, oh, I went here and I did that. Make sure that you're genuinely born again. And born again comes by receiving Christ as your Savior. So these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So sometimes in this day where Jews were very much anti-Christ and Christians were receiving Christ, the Judaizers were like this little in-between group trying to satisfy both parties. And you can't do that. And if you start loading up one group just to be accepted by the other, you're causing Christians to stumble. And Paul's like saying, he's making no provision for that to happen. And that was what was coming through this letter. Many believe that these large letters that he expresses here are the thorn in his flesh. Do you remember where he asked the Lord to take this thorn? He prayed to God three times. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It is so important that when you sense something's broken in your life or some physical affliction or somehow, and I mean, we live in the age of doctors for everything. I mean, there's a doctor for the toenail. I mean, there's a doctor for whatever. And yet, you know, sometimes we're so trying to improve this body, but yet this body needs to be made new, and that's going to come. And so we want to not always, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying that at all. You heard me, right? Go to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor. We sent our daughter to the doctor this week. She needed a doctor. So I'm not anti-doctors. I'm not anti-medicine. My wife and I went through a long battle through Dana-Farber and major Boston hospitals. My son sees a doctor. So I do believe God heals, but I also believe he uses medicine. But needless to say, all the things that cause your physical affliction may be the very thing that God's going to use to drive you into his presence. And somehow I think that we sometimes lose perspective is that, you know, what is somebody's cancer battle supposed to accomplish? Is it just get them healed? May they find to know God's strength in that time. May we as a church know how to suffer with them. These are the things that sometimes I think the church needs to be better, more focused on. And Paul's saying that he actually learned God's grace through the thorn in his flesh. Perhaps these Galatians really felt his passion. Maybe it was this thorn in his eyesight in these large letters that he wrote with that if they could see that, oh my goodness, this guy went through this much work with this strained writing to get our attention. Do you see how the power of an affliction could actually get someone's attention? Are you with me? All right. Waking you up. So, and Paul talked about this. He believes that this was a messenger given by Satan, that this was, you know, it would get him off his game. It would discourage you. So many people get discouraged in physical affliction, and they can't quite see their way through. I received a phone call earlier in the week, and I just sensed this person's heartache, and some of it is physical. Tears. And my heart was breaking. And I said, as my friend, I'll do whatever I can. I'll do whatever I can to help you. I'll do whatever I can. Whatever you need, I will help. I want to see you made well and made whole. And sometimes I think there's so much power in that moment. By the end of the conversation, I sensed that they were cheered up. And I couldn't see them because they were on the other end of the phone. But I could hear a change in countenance. And that's what ministry does. Paul talks about that we comfort one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have received. Do you know how to comfort somebody? Do you know how to be that person that could really come along somebody? Because you know what it's like to either suffer something that's just really yucky. You've been through cancer treatment. You didn't like chemotherapy. You hated it. You threw up. All that stuff. Could God not use you to come alongside somebody? Maybe you've lost a loved one and you know how to counsel somebody. Maybe God's given you a little bit of hope and strength through this period. I mean, death shouldn't shock us, people. It still does. I know. We hate it. But we've got one who already dealt with that for us in full. That's why you can serve Christ with full confidence that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is Scripture. That is God's backing, and you and I want to know so well of how do we stand strong in an evil day. Look at these forest fires raging, 23 people just not taken, right? That's why you don't know what your last day is. My heart was breaking for these people driving down the street. I'm like watching this one minute and 10 second video. And in that 1 minute, 10 second video on Facebook, I said, oh my goodness, so much hangs in the balance here. They don't know what they're about to drive into. They're hoping to get on the other side of that road that where the flames aren't as huge. And it reminded me of where Paul talks about some are going to escape as if by fire. And that's talking about people whose lives were barely saved, even this side of heaven. But because they trusted Jesus Christ, they are going to be in heaven. They're not trusting in religion. Amen. We're not trusting in our good works, although good works should flow out of our life. People said to me, this is pretty cool. I've been getting calls this week. People are coming to the Thanksgiving dinner. Like, we were there last year. We don't want to miss it. So the joy of the Lord is in this place. And if we continue to uphold Christ, exalt Him, we serve a risen Savior. He is worthy. He is so worthy. He took nails in His hands and nails in His feet and bled in the sinner's place and says, I did this because I love this world. I left heaven. And now, no matter what difficulties we may have, whether eyesight issues, cancer, whatever, God can use it to accomplish what He wants. But we want to be faithful, and we don't want to bear up under that load without His help. See, God didn't give you a trial to leave you in that trial without help and support. But there are times where we're going to have to help somebody. There's a situation in our church that I think some of the ladies just need to go and be an encouragement and just be there for this person right now. That's what they need. And we want to be wise and you know what? We want to send the right people to do the right ministry because God's at work. You know, Paul's not backed down for 1 second from the beginning of this letter. He says, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel other than the one that I preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow. To wake us up. Those are wake-up words. What do you mean, Paul? In other words, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I don't want my loyalty any other place. I don't want it on me. I don't want it misdirected. My genuine loyalty is a loyalty of love to a Savior who loved me and died for me. Pray through your weakness. God will use it. And that's why it's important that as we, in this case here with these Galatians, you look at this here. Go back here. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Some people believe that some of these Judaizers actually may have been saved. They were. If they were, they were very mixed up. I believe some definitely were not saved. And sometimes a Christian can get entangled in error, and sometimes Christians are clueless to their partnerships. They are clueless. They don't even realize what they're doing. And they realize that they're giving loyalty to something else that is not really helpful. You're looking for some other form that you just haven't quite accepted the fact, and this is a growth issue. I understand that. Grow, but some people say to me, you know, we don't want to be too hard on them. Well, I don't mean hard, but you don't want to leave somebody just stuck. A woman came into the church this week asking about our Thanksgiving dinner, and she basically was very honest. She said, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. I said, but do you know that God demonstrated His love for you? That He gave Jesus for this world? I mean, I could have just like backed off and said, yeah, okay, just let her believe what she wants to believe. Now, I wasn't mean about it. And she might even see her at the Thanksgiving dinner. But there are times where I think we give too much of a free pass. It's like, oh, it really doesn't matter what they believe. It really does matter. It really, really matters. And you want to be, that's why you want to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. You want to know the Word of God. You want to stand on the solid rock so that when you know Christ alone saves and you can't add to it, you just need to run to Him. And that's all demonstrated at the cross. That's why Paul would say, I will boast in no other, right? No one else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not boasting just in a piece of wood. He's boasting in what happened at that cross. And this is so very important that we would never lose sight of this. And so what happens is that when there's no, you can be religious and have no faith in God. And a lot of people in our world, in our area, are religious. They go to a building that they would call church, but they have not absolutely, they may have never given faith, saving faith into Christ. You could even ask them, explain to me the gospel. Do you know the simple gospel? Well, usually it's what they do. Well, I go to church, you know, but the simplicity, it doesn't really matter if a person is Episcopalian, Catholic, you name it, you know, Methodist. It doesn't really matter about the label. The label doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus makes you new and born again, and that's what happens. We are Christians, and we have a lot of symbolism today in our communities that like look Christian, but not necessarily is the best teaching coming out of there. But yes, anyone can get saved. A Catholic can get saved, an Episcopal can get saved, a Methodist can get saved, a Baptist can get saved. Do you realize even a Baptist can get saved? Baptists used to think that the only ones, you know... But we want to be, you know, we want to be careful. We want to make sure people have a solid place to come and grow. One of the things I said to the lady on whatever day she stopped, and I said, I think we're just the real deal. This church is the real deal. You want to come? You know, we're gonna. Thank you, brother. And that's what you want. Want people to encounter. And the real deal is that there was an amazing exchange at this cross. I brought all my sin, and He gave me all of His righteousness. Okay. That's just so awesome. I couldn't earn it. I could just come. I just had to come, and I did. I pray that if you're not saved today, that this is your day. You'd say, I'm not leaving this building until I know I'm 100% saved. And it doesn't take but a prayer. God, just I give you me. You know about my sin, and I just know You've already taken it, and I'm going to trust the payment that was already made for me. So Paul says here, so this idea of this, I want to get to this first point, establish it clear that you can be religious but have real no saving faith. And Paul's really going to speak to that by the end of this letter. We're going to keep going here. But we want to know faith. You want to know faith. But God forbid, he says, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, my loyalty isn't to this fallen planet, as beautiful as creation is. I mean, how many of us remember like 75 to 85 degree weather in the summer? It's like, this will never change. And then you get like 3 inches of rain. Where some of us were coming back from Halifax on a Friday night from men's night out. I mean, it's raining. All those leaves, those pretty leaves, they're just gone, you know. And the scripture is clear that, you know, we are just like that. We are fading away. This world is fading away. But God loves sinners and He wants us with Him. You know that God loves His enemies and He wants to rescue them. This is the day to be rescued, and this is the day to celebrate your rescue. But this is knowing faith, having true faith in what Christ did for you. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Whether you do it or you don't do it, right? Whether you give your loyalty to some other system. But what really matters here is a new creation. Paul would say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Are you enjoying your new status every day? You're waking up in that mirror, you're like, I'm a new creation. Satan, he don't like me. He's gonna try to derail me. He's gonna try to get me off my game. He's gonna try to make me a mess. But I'm a new creation in this wonderful truth that Jesus Christ died for me. He loved me, and He gave me His Spirit, so I see Jesus is not just, He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send one in my place like me. wow, do you realize the Holy Spirit comes to live in the believer? So like when you open up the scripture and you understand the word, and it's like, that's my truth. That's my truth. Wow, wow. You just keep grabbing them, right? Hoard those truths, but then give them back, you know? Take them in and then give them back. Give them back. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. All right, I'm going to keep going here. And I just got to share a few verses that have really spoken to me. There were many times in the apostles' ministry that I believe that there are even Paul's learning and his understanding of even ministry opportunities. God taught him things, but when you get to the book of 1 Corinthians, he really resettles what he knows to be true. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, if you're a child of the world, a child of this world system, this whole cross thing, you're probably just blowing right over it. You don't even realize how significant what this cross represents. And so, and it's foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, one of the things I heard, which is very sad coming out of the shooting that happened at the nightclub this week, is that one woman whose son was actually, I believe his life was taken. In this last shooting, this went on whatever night it was, and that he was also at the Las Vegas in the same audience that day. He survived that. But she's like, I don't need any prayers. I'm just sick and tired of people giving me their hope and prayers. Now, again, I know people can just throw those words out, but this woman needs God. And see, if we know the scripture and we recognize the evil day that we're living in, we'll be prepared to face it. That's the idea of what the gospel does. It gives you hope in an evil world. And that's what God's left us here for a reason. Guess what? The moment you receive Jesus, you are ready for heaven. Instantly. You could just have died that moment, and you're going into glory. You're going into be with Christ. But you know, guess what? God kept you here for a reason. He kept you here because he wants to use you. But he says, but to us who are being saved, this is the power of God. He would say in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first, still on God's priority list, and to the Gentile. That's us. That's those of us who are non-Jewish descent, the true lineage of when you go back to the tribes of Israel. And he would say, no flesh, later in that chapter, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do you know that the sanctification of God is so powerful that God can separate you for his purposes? He can work so much in you. And you may be resisting that right now. Some of us just still struggle with this old nature. Anybody else struggle with sin? All right, right here. There are times like, I'm just not going to go there. I just don't, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And some of that just in weakness, right? Just in difficulty. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is everything that happened at that cross that was done for you. Remember that passage in Isaiah? And this just really hit me as I was thinking about this, but Isaiah would say to the Jewish people, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Keep in mind, Isaiah is announcing that the Messiah is coming. He's preparing the way of the Lord. He's writing this letter in advance, and he wants them to be thinking about these things. But God is, because sin's a barrier between us in God. It's a barrier, but Jesus took it out of the way. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. This is every sinner. This is every person. Whether you have all the colorful words, there's a defiling factor in every human heart that has to be removed, and only Jesus could do that. And then God opens this wonderful, wonderful privilege for you to have fellowship with him every day, whether you succeed at it or not. But you want to succeed at it. You want to work at that. But you're not doing this because I'm just going to toughen it out again another day. You want to do this with joy. But think of what Paul says here, and I'm just giving you another scripture from the book of Colossians. That was from Isaiah, what I just read. He says, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us. which was contrary to us. You know that sin is contrary to God's design for the human being. Do you know that you're made in the image of God? The image of God is on you and in you. You are the imprint of God, and God's doing, He's doing everything He can to make you right to be with Him forever. And it's believing Him. That's true trust. That's true faith. Jesus did this for me. By the way, Jesus is God in human flesh. But Paul would say here, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All the things that were a barrier, everything that was a barrier between you and God, that Isaiah would point out, has been removed out of the way at the cross. And it's confirmed by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is the guarantee. How many people have... This is a fun experience if you've ever done this. I know my mom and Andy just went through this. You clean out a place that you lived in. And you're like, oh my goodness, there's so much room here. Do you ever do that? Like, there's so much room here. Oh my goodness. Like, when you get rid of a piece of furniture... Like, what was I thinking? That hutch never belonged in that room. It was huge, and I kicked it every night when I got out of bed, right? You know, oh, my goodness. Have you ever kicked something in the middle of the night? Oh, like, oh, my goodness. But there are times where once we move it out of the way, my daughter's so funny. And my son, too. I noticed with Aaron on Friday night. I'm going to tell your story in a second, Amanda. First of all, I'm with Aaron now as the unofficial attender of Men's Night Out. But Aaron likes these open spaces. So I'm seeing Aaron like just, you know, he's corralling. But it's an open area that he can kind of move. That's why we double these doors, so we can all just move freely here. But Amanda, when she was little, she'd find an open area, and she'd be dancing around. It's like she had all this freedom to just do her thing, and she liked this, and sometimes she still does it. But the key is when things are moved out of the way, you are free. And think about what that clean house can feel like sometimes. My wife will say, I think better when I have a clean house. And it's true. When you've got your clutter out of the way, you can think. And this is the beauty of this whole message in this whole book of Galatians. Jesus moved it out of the way. The sin debt was moved out of the way. And now what we do is we focus in on the finished work that was done for the believer at the cross. If you identify with Jesus ever in baptism, you do it out of love for Him. I want to show my obedience because I want to identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. As you serve God at any time in your life, you do it because you love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. I'm going to close this with, so this is all about knowing God. And I love what Paul says. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. I loved what one of the commentaries helped shed some light on this Israel of God. I believe this is every person, just like Abraham, who was of that lineage of Abraham, but also, like Abraham, believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's the righteousness that you want. Because you believe God, you gain all of His righteousness freely. This is just so important. So you want to be known by God. And Paul is saying that right here. He wraps this up. He says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. This word, the marks, is it's called stigmata in the Greek. It means actual marks of suffering. Slaves would also often be branded. If they had run away and they came back, they were marked. The slave belongs. And some slaves would even stay under their owners. They would volunteer. When you see the word bond servant in Scripture, it's a slave who said, I joyfully stay and I'm going to serve. And I think when you think about Jesus, you think of Him as one who was the bondservant of God. He did exactly what God wanted Him to do. Paul called himself a bondservant as well. And so we really want, brother, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit. You and I need the grace of God upon our spirit. Every day of our life, we need to live in this grace, think about it. I'd like to close with this, what Spurgeon said. He says, we owe all to Jesus crucified. What is your life, my brethren, but the cross? Whence comes the bread of your soul but from the cross? What is your joy but the cross? What is your delight? What is your heaven but the Blessed One once crucified for you? Whoever liveth to make intercession for you. Christ is praying for his church right now. He is praying for our success. I love the prayers of Jesus. I can count on them. Cling to the cross. Put both arms around it. Hold to the crucified one. Never let him go. Come afresh to the cross at this moment. Rest there now and forever. Then the power of God resting upon you. Go forth and preach the cross. Tell out the story of the bleeding lamb. Repeat the wondrous tale and nothing else. Never mind how you do it. Only proclaim that Jesus died for the sinner. God is not looking for us to be so perfect. He's just looking to bring people to the cross. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, Lord, for each of us in this room this morning as we want to be known as the true righteousness of God, that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, would say the apostle, that I will boast in nothing else but the cross of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for how this amazing, simple message, but yet it's so layered in truth of your great love and your great rescue. But even a child can understand what Jesus did for them. Father, we pray that our church would see people through the lens of love, the lens of love that Christ died for sinners, and we want people in on the action, that we are your ambassadors, that we would be faithful. If you don't know Christ today and you want to know him, would you pray a simple prayer with me this morning? Dear Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would help me to understand what you've truly done for me in Jesus. I know he died for me on the cross. He gave up his life for me. He surrendered his life. He spilt his precious blood. He took the nails for me. He was the crucified one. Thank you, Lord, that he rose again, and I believe that he did that for me. Lord, help me to understand how to grow in Christ. Help me to live for you. I trust you for my salvation alone. I'm not mixing any other thing tied with it. I trust Jesus alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for our church. I pray that we would grow in this grace, that we would make every provision in our lives by your grace, by your Spirit's power, to be the people that you want us to be. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. We pray that our outreach next Saturday would be everything you'd want it to be. Father, it's going to be a busy place, but we ask you to bless it, keep us safe, that Christ would be exalted, the love of Jesus would be shared, and that your name would be great and people would run to you for the first time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.